The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. Please turn to page 103 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than that was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that through seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those among the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. While meditating for several weeks on the words of the parable of the four seeds that fell on different grounds from today's scripture, there was a book that stuck in my mind. It is The Seasons of Life by Dr. Paul Tournier, a Swiss medicine doctor and Christian author who opened his medical practice in Geneva. Tournier was born into a pastor's family, but his father passed away when he was only 3 months old, and his mother passed away when he was 6 years old. As a result, he grew up with his older sister in his uncle's home. This situation had a deep impact on his character, as he always felt lonely and feared becoming insignificant to others. He graduated from medical school and opened his practice, but he experienced a turning point in his life through a Christian movement. He began to view his medical practice from a Christian perspective. He discovered that listening to patients' worries and concerns, rather than just focusing on their physical illness, was helpful in treating his patients. He became dedicated to a holistic approach to human healing. Based on this, he founded Medicine of the Person, which argues that the relationship with God and human problems have an impact on physical illness and treatment. As a result, he was the most famous Christian doctor of the 20th century and was known as the most beloved Christian counselor of his time. Just as there are four seasons in our country, Korea, Dr. Tournier said that there are also four seasons in life. Just as we call the season when flowers bloom in nature spring, he said the early years of life when we are born and grow up are the springtime of life. And just as we call the time when everything grows and is active summer, he said that the time when young adults are active is the summertime of life. Similarly, just as we call the time when we harvest fruits and leaves fall, autumn, he said that old age, which is the time of maturity and ripeness, is the autumn of life. And he said that the season of death is the winter of both nature and life. However, the seasons of nature always come in the order of spring, summer, autumn, and winter. Even if the temperature may rise, like summer in the spring, there is no way to skip summer and then move on to autumn. Similarly, there is no way to skip spring and move directly from winter to summer. However, we may like the mountains and fields to be covered with greenery. The seasons of life, however, are different. Especially for us Christians, the spiritual seasons of life are even more different. These seasons can be experienced at any time, regardless of age, education, experience, wealth, or status. Some people experience spiritual seasons of spring, summer, fall, and winter in their youth, while others experience them later in life. Sometimes a season may only last for a short moment, like a point on a line, while other seasons may seem to last for years or even longer. One can have experiences that seem like a spiritual winter in their youth, while others can have experiences that seem like a spring in their older age. Sometimes spiritual summer can come even without possessions or knowledge, while despite having many possessions or knowledge, one may feel like they are caught in a storm or frozen ice. There is a short story in the book, The Seasons of Life. A professor became a believer after he was 80 years old, and he always said, "I am just a child because my life just began." He was raised and educated in a strict household, but his family had no religious beliefs. Then he unexpectedly met the Lord and was captivated by him. The Lord came to his life. The professor entrusted his entire life to the Lord, and his life seemed to change completely. He saw his life in a new light, illuminated by the truth. That was why he always said, "I am just a child," whenever he had the chance. His most meaningful change after encountering the Lord on a personal level was that he could reassess his past life. There was no meaningless or valueless thing when one looks back at one's past life after meeting the Lord. The questions that we had been struggling with for years seemed to have solutions, and the Lord also gives answers to questions that appear like they could not be solved. And then we realize how deep and for a long period of time that the Lord has blessed us. I'm sure all of us can offer the same confession. When Jesus was teaching, the rabbis during the period would often teach their own disciples while walking. But for more important teachings, the rabbis would sit down to teach. We also know that listening to God's word while driving and listening to it during Sunday worship are very different. While driving, we may hear the word, but we often don't remember it afterwards. However, when we sit in worship and focus on the word gets engraved in our hearts and has a lasting impact on our lives. According to the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, which describe in detail Jesus delivering the parable of the four fallen seeds, Jesus sat by the Sea of Galilee, and a large crowd gathered around him in the Sea of Galilee. However, people continued to flock to him, so Jesus went on one of the fishing boats and delivered the gospel through an analogy. Although Jesus spread the kingdom of God through the parable of four fallen seeds, not everyone responded in the same way. Over the past 4 weeks, we have talked about the four types of people in this parable. The first type of person is a person whose mind of the seed fell on the path. The reason that the soil can hold and accept the seed is because the soil is in a soft state. However, land, such as the path, is hard, so it can neither hold nor accept the seed. So the seed that fell on the path was left to the birds Jesus' claim is shocking, as Jesus is saying that when the word lands on those with the heart of a path, the reason that these people do not or cannot hold or accept the word is because the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. People with the heart of a path will not even think for a moment that the words can fall into their hearts, but then also be stolen. Of course, let us look at Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. "So for yourself, righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you." God tells the Israelites that while it is important to plant crops and harvest fruit from the land, it is even more important to sow righteousness and reap love. To sow righteousness means to serve God as God alone, not dividing one's heart to serve both God and idols. Furthermore, it means to share life with others with a merciful heart and deep empathy. This is when one experiences God's love. God's love is unfailing, always full, and enduring. To sow righteousness and reap love, one must first plow up the ground. Old ground is land that has not been cultivated for a long time and has become hard as a road. People who do not acknowledge God in their lives or turn away from God do not plow up their hearts and lives. But if they do, they will experience the shower of righteousness that God sends down. The second type of person mentioned in this passage is the one who listens to the word of God with a heart of rock. Those with shallow, stony, soil-like hearts. They are those who depend only on emotions for their faith, those who are Christians only for a short time, or those who were Christians for a brief period in the past. The reason why those with a heart of rock cannot continue their lives of faith and bear fruit is because they cannot let the seed take root. For the seed to take root, they must remove large and small stones. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 to 20. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God. The people of Judah endured a long and painful captivity in Babylon. But one of the benefits of their captivity was the disappearance of worshipping idols. Of course, it does not mean that they served only God after being freed. However, the practice of making idols out of stones or wood and worshipping them was almost completely eliminated after captivity ended. Another benefit of their captivity was the establishment of synagogues where they could read and learn God's word. Before the captivity, the focus was on offering sacrifices in the temple, but after captivity, the focus shifted from learning God's word in the synagogues. Regarding this, God said that before the captivity, the Israelites had a heart of stone, but after the captivity, he would give them a soft heart like flesh. After removing various types of stones in one's heart, God's words becomes deeply planted and bears fruit. The third person mentioned in the text is someone who listens to the word of God with a heart like land with thorns. This land can bear fruit on its own, but it is hindered from bearing fruit by external factors such as worldly values, like the worries, wealth, and pleasures of life. One of the Apostle Paul's men was a man named Demas, whose name appears in Paul's letters to the Colossians and Philemon. He also visited Paul with Mark and Luke when Paul was imprisoned. However, his last appearance is described as follows. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. The Apostle Paul, who was imprisoned for the second time, is waiting for the day when he will be offered as a martyr. This is the time Paul wrote the letter of 2 Timothy, which is Paul's last will that he sent as a farewell letter. The time gap between Paul's first imprisonment and the sending of 2 Timothy is about 4 years, during which we do not know what happened. Paul urgently asked his men, Timothy, whom he considered as his son, to come to him, while telling the news that Demas has gone to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. However, Unlike Crescens or Titus, Demas went to Thessalonica because he loved this world. The world mentioned here is the same word as the world in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, which means the real world and worldly values. Demas fell into the temptation of worldly values such as the worries of life, wealth, and pleasures. Therefore, Demas was, he remained as a lover of the world for the past 2,000 years. The fourth person is someone who listened to the word with a good heart. Good soil is land where seeds can take root and grow, and obstacles have already been removed so that it can bear fruit. Therefore, Jesus said that the seed that fell on good soil would yield 30, 60, or even 100 times the crop. If I were to speak about this parable of the four fallen seeds and then ask the congregation, which of these four soils best represents your life? How would you answer? It would not be easy for you to provide an answer. Furthermore, if I were to ask which of these four soils is most similar to the hearts and lives of the congregation so far, it would be even more difficult to answer this question. This parable of the four fallen seeds is not only about four types of Christians or humans, but more about the seasons of life that Christians or humans experience. In other words, it tells us that there are at least four different seasons in our hearts or souls. Therefore, when we look back on our past lives, there were times when our hearts and souls were like a path bouncing off the Word of God. God endlessly knocked on the door of our hearts, but we were unaware or tried to ignore it, even though we felt or thought of it. And then occasionally our hearts and souls were like ground of rocks. Before we bounced off the words of God, within 0.1 seconds of listening to it, but little by little we could understand it and the word even lingered in our thoughts. So we attended early morning prayers that we previously did not attend, went to a Bible study service on Wednesdays, and took part in various discussions with others in the Bible study group. And we think there can be such gatherings that are fun even without alcohol. And then we go back to our previous lives due to temporary difficulties, persecution, and disappointments. In particular, lands with thorns is an experience that young people frequently encounter in their process of life. During their school years, they are diligent in their faith and volunteer actively at church. The arms of the tree and leaves seem to grow well and fully, so it seems like that it's going to reap fruit soon. Then one day, worries sweep over and the world looks attractive. Holding on to God's words seems boring and there is a desire to enjoy something else. In addition, it seems like if we do as we please according to our thoughts, then it will bring us much benefit. When this continues, we find ourselves drowning in secular values. Jesus told this parable to show that the seed that falls on good soil will surely bear fruit. As Jesus' ministry continued, more and more people followed him, but there were also more and more people who opposed him. Just as a farmer scatters seed that may be blown away by the wind or eaten by birds, the word of God that Jesus was preaching may have seemed to be wasted, but Jesus emphasized that it would surely bear fruit in the end. The key point of this parable that Jesus told is found in verse 8 of today's passage. Let's look at verse 8. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." At that time, farmers knew that not all of the seed they scattered would fall on good soil. They knew that some of the seed would be wasted. Nevertheless, they did not refuse nor stop to sow the seed. They believed that some of the seed they scattered on good soil would bear a bountiful harvest. Jesus also called on people to become good soil that bears a 100-fold harvest. There is a season for our hearts and souls to bear fruit. Becoming good soil and bearing fruit has nothing to do with age, status, or possessions. The Bible is full of stories of people who have sown the Word of God in their lives and have borne fruit, regardless of their age or status. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. This is verse 19. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. This was a spiritually extremely confusing period. People were in a state of being on a path because they could not hear God's words. Little Samuel was the one that held onto God's words during these times. At the time, Samuel was only 6 or 7 years old. When that little Samuel held on to God's words, he became the path that closed the door to the age of the prophets, commonly referred to as the dark spiritual period, and opened the door to the age of the kingdoms. Joseph was sold to Midianite merchants by his brothers and became a slave in Egypt. He was falsely accused and ended up in prison. The situation at the time is recorded in Psalm 105, verses 17 to 19. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons, till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold as a slave to Egypt, and he became a governor at the age of 30 to address the famine crisis in Egypt. Thus, he was in prison and was a slave during his prime age of when he was in his teens and 20s. Psalm describes that his feet were bruised with shackles and his body was put in irons. In an old fable of Korea, the story of Chunhyang, Chunhyang refuses to serve Governor Byun's request and she is put in prison with knives around her neck. If Chunhyang had knives around her neck, then Joseph had been restrained on his feet. If there are shackles on one's feet, on his feet, then he could not move his feet anymore despite all human efforts. There was nothing more he could do. It was not because God was powerless that Joseph was sold by his brothers, but God did not prevent it. Also, it was not because God did not know that he ignored that Joseph was a slave at Potiphar's house, nor that God had given up on Joseph and allowed him to be falsely imprisoned. God had a purpose for Joseph and was waiting for his word to be fulfilled. As Joseph was good soil, Jacob's entire family came to live in Egypt, and after 400 years, the number of people increased, and the great historical event of Exodus occurred. The angel Gabriel conveyed an incredible message to Mary that was beyond human imagination. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, the angel said. Mary answered, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Mary expressed her disbelief at such an incredible event, but Angel Gabriel assured her that nothing is impossible with God's word. When Mary received the word and held on to the message, she became the mother of the Savior who would save all humanity. The eternal fruit of this event is immeasurable and cannot be expressed in numbers. When Paul and other people on the ship sailing to Rome encountered a hurricane. They had already lightened the ship's load by throwing away their luggage and equipment, but there was nothing more they could do, and they had no hope of survival. At that moment, Paul said to them, this is Acts chapter 27, verses 23 to 25. Last night, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Paul heard God's voice amidst the pitch-black darkness and raging storm, when only the sound of the wind could be heard. He held on to God's words. That word led to saving 276 other people, becoming a pathway leading humanity to Jesus Christ, the Lord of life. Paul was in his mid-50s at the time. The destruction of southern Judah occurred gradually over three stages as Jerusalem fell. When Jerusalem was first captured, Daniel was taken to Babylon along with his friends. From the beginning, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the king's food and wine. Many years passed and the empire changed from Babylon to Persia. Daniel became one of the three chief ministers of the empire and was subject to envy, jealousy, and mockery. Daniel's adversaries realized that the only way to destroy him was to break his relationship with God. Therefore, the king of the empire, who was considered equal to God's son and any other god or person, decreed that anyone who asked anything from any god or person other than the Persian king for 30 days should be thrown into a lion's den. At the time, Persian kings were considered to be sons of gods and thus equal to God's level. Let's look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Daniel remained consistent from beginning to end. When Daniel kneeled down to pray three times a day, it meant that he lifted his words to God, and when he opened the window facing Jerusalem, it meant that he heard God's words that were spoken to him. Even though his fellows were taken captive, Daniel was aware of God's word and that he would send the nation back after 70 years. By holding on to God's words, Daniel became the connecting link, allowing the people of Judah to return to their homeland. There is a 67-year gap between when Daniel was taken to Babylon and when he prayed facing the window toward Jerusalem. If Daniel was 15 years old when he was taken captive, he would be 82 years old when praying facing the window. Even then, Daniel was like good land that held on to God's words. Also, Abraham was 75 years old when he did not know where to go. And Moses was 80 years old when he was called upon by God. In addition, Simon, who waited for the birth of baby Jesus, he was close to death old, and the lady prophet Anna was at least 84 years old. All of these people are those that held on to God's words and reaped the fruits of life and truth. Today is the fifth Sunday of Lent, a time to reflect on the suffering of the Lord and to celebrate His resurrection. Jesus is still calling, let anyone with ears to hear. No matter what age we are, if our hearts are like the ground of a path, or the shallow soil with rocks, or thorny ground full of worries, wealth, and pleasures, the Lord is telling us to turn our hearts over as soon as possible and make it into good soil. He also tells us to become the kind of soil that holds and swallows His word. Therefore, He says to hold on to His word, swallow it, and endure to the end so we may bear fruit a hundredfold. No matter what stage of life we are in now, if our hearts are not like good soil, then the way is to turn over our hearts as soon as possible, and also hope and obey as the Lord does this for us. This is how we can accept the Lord's suffering in a proper manner. When we do this, the Lord who has conquered the world will plant the seed of God's word in our hearts, and He will make it bear fruit of resurrection, and we will become the Lord's eternal children who enjoy eternal life. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just as there are four seasons of spring, summer, fall, and winter in nature, we thank You for reminding us that our lives also have seasons and that there are various types of soil. No matter what season of life we are in right now, please help us to cultivate good soil for our souls so that it will not be shallow soil by the path, rocky ground or thorny ground full of worries, riches, and pleasures in this life, but become good soil that bears fruit as seen in many faithful people like Samuel, Joseph, Mary, the Apostle Paul, and Daniel, who received the seed of your word at their age and stage in life, swallowed it, and became a channel for you. On the fifth Sunday of Lent, we repent of our past lives, where we ignored the Lord's earnest plea for us to become good soil. We hope that our hearts, once it has become good soil, do not make the foolish mistake of going back to the shallow paths or rocky ground full of thorns. Let the words and the seed of life that we hold on to move beyond difficulties of life and bear witness to resurrection and life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.